I hope that the recording, I know last time this year, I didn't record so well. I hope this time the recording will be better. So we're holding Vaiporim. I'd like to say is that it's, I remember last Purim that they made a rule that if you're going to have more than 100 people in shul, so anybody who just came back from Chutz La'aretz can join in the minyan. And we're still, we're still dealing with the corona, COVID. It's going to be a very different Purim than we've had in the past. I would say for two reasons. One reason is the obvious reason because of corona limitations. But even so, we still have to go ahead and we still have to be mesameach, we still have to be happy, and there's still mitzvah sayom. And Purim really represents a symbol of bitachon v'Hashem, that our Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. And therefore, for this reason, we still have to celebrate Purim. Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully we're towards the end. And the second reason, wherever we are, whether we're in Yerushalayim, which I will not be, or we're outside Yerushalayim, it's definitely a different Purim. Because usually on the years of Purim, we, if you're living outside Yerushalayim, you celebrate Purim on your Dalet, and you're able to, whenever you eat the Suda can finish before Shkia, just before Shkia, the Suda can go past Shkia. You don't really have to worry about the house being clean until after the Suda is over. But obviously this year, since it's Erev Shabbos, so we definitely have that concern, how to relate Purim to Shabbos. And for those who are living in Yerushalayim, we usually celebrate Purim on Tezavav. And as everyone knows, this year is Purim Mishulash. And in Yerushalayim, they'll divide the celebrations into three parts. And probably the Suda will not be on Shabbos. Those will be Machmir, but the Iker Suda in Yerushalayim will be on Sunday. So really what I want to talk about, and this relates to wherever we are, is that it seems that Purim and Shabbos are two separate entities. So if we are living outside Yerushalayim, many might choose to go ahead and to have the Suda going into Shabbos. I don't think that that's l'chadchila. I'll explain why. However, that being said, to explain on a halachic level why it might not be l'chadchila, why you can do it. And in Yerushalayim also, we understand on a halachic level that you're not supposed to go ahead and to have the Iker Suda on Shabbos should be on Sunday. And I'm really more interested in the hashkafa idea behind it in order to understand what Purim is about, so we have a better idea of what Purim is about, and obviously to understand what Shabbos is about. We have to understand what Purim is about because this year is Purim, this week is Purim. And we have to understand what Shabbos is about because every week is Shabbos. So what I want to do is I would like to share a screen of everybody, and then we'll begin. Okay, so I don't want to get into the halachic aspects of the deeply into halachic aspects of the sugya, just because I think that that's not the point of the shir. But I do want to go through the Rashi Dvarim, the main points we understand. So we know in general you're not supposed to have a big meal on Friday. The question is when that halacha starts. However, this year, because for those who are celebrating Purim on Friday, on Yodalid, so no matter what, we have to have a Suda on Friday, whether you choose to have it first thing in the morning or a little bit later, or even if something happens, you're very busy and you all of a sudden at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you realize I didn't eat the Suda yet, you have to eat the Suda because it's a chiyuv to eat the Suda. However, that being said, even though it's a chiyuv to eat the Suda, you have to be aware of the fact that Shabbos is coming, and a chacham ena barosho understands he has to have a meal at night. Obviously it makes it a little bit easier. We don't necessarily have to rush home into the meal on Shabbos, this Shabbos, but we still have to eat a suda. So, and this is the problem which, anytime Purim fell out on Erev Shabbos, so the challenge that the Jews faced, whether they were living, in Eretz Yisrael, living in America, living in Europe, it was always a problem how you somehow eat the stew on Erev Shabbos and then go ahead and have a meal on Friday night. So if you look at source number one, that's halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Ramah, Rishachal Purim B'yom HaShishi, if Purim falls out on Friday, like it does this year outside Yerushalayim, Yasa Suda B'Shachris. So the Ramah suggests that you should have the Suda in the morning, Mishum Kavod Shabbos, because of Kavod Shabbos, even though you can have an afternoon, but still to have Kavod Shabbos, you should have the morning before Chatzos. And then the Ramah adds, Umisha Rotze Laso Sotamid B'Shachris, if you want to have it in the morning every year, or should be other, you're allowed to do it. You can have it in the morning every year. But this year, it's preferable, the Ramah says, to have it on Erev Shabbat in the morning before Chatzos. So if the meal lasts 3 hours, you can clean up, get ready for Shabbos. And by the time Shabbos comes in, it might take you a little bit longer to walk home from shul. You might be able to, you know, to talk to people, probably social distancing, and, you know, and you take your time. But you should definitely be able to eat a meal. I remember that in my shul, which I started, we have a question. I'll deal with the questions afterwards. All right. So I don't want to break a break. So I'll take the questions afterwards. So or you can write a message. So so the person should try to eat the meal. According to the Ramah, the person should try to eat the meal for those living outside Yerushalayim on before Chatzos. Okay. However, I do want to point out that there are shittas that you can eat it after Chatzos. Okay. I'm just going through the opinions. You look at source number two. The Mishnah Berurah mentions the Yad Ephraim, and quotes the Mariel that says you can have it in the afternoon also. Better to have it, I don't know, at the exact time in the first half of the afternoon, you know, by 2 or 3 o'clock. But again, be careful you eat the meal at night. Okay. So if you look at source number three, and I'm not going through the halachic aspects of the sugya. Look at source number three. So the Piskei Tshuvos. The Piskei Tshuvos says mentions the Yad Ephraim. As I said, that a person who can't eat before Chatzos the Suda, and I have to tell you that I remember many, it didn't happen that often, but I remember being in my father's house, he would always try to start the Suda before Chatzos, but it didn't always happen. So we'd have it after Chatzos. And Mariel says, you can have it, you know, before the 10th hour of the day. So it's what to play with. He says like this, And let's say, for example, you're very busy, and you don't get around to the Suda until, you know, 4:30. Then you have to eat the Suda because it's a chiyuv. But don't eat so much. Eat a little bit of bread. Wash it a little bread. Eat a little bit of bread because of, eat a little bread because at that, he says, you should go ahead eat a little bit of bread in order that you should be able to eat Friday night b'tayavon. Okay, so then he mentions another possibility which I want to talk about, and that's called Poris Mapu Mekadesh. Okay, what does Poris Mapu Mekadesh mean? So the Gemara mentions such a concept that what happened was sometimes in the days of Chazal, they would be eating a meal, how the meal started, what happened, they don't know, and they realized, oh my gosh, Shabbos has come in, and you know, it's usher to eat a meal. When Shabbos comes in without Kiddush, they would cover the challah, and they would make Kiddush. They would go ahead and they would make Kiddush in the middle. They would go ahead and they would make Kiddush in the middle of the meal. They would make Kiddush in the middle of the meal. That's called Purim Matan Kaddish. So therefore, some people suggest that this Purim on Friday, instead of going ahead and having the Suda before Chatzos, and then you have to finish the Suda early, you know, go to shul, daven mincha, eat a meal after Plag HaMincha, whatever time that is, and or you know, or start a meal actually maybe before Plag HaMincha, and then after Plag HaMincha, I'm sorry, go ahead and cover the challah and make Kiddush and Mekabel Shabbos. And what happens is you're going to go ahead and combine your Shabbos meal and your Purim meal into one meal. Okay, so that's, I personally don't recommend that. I'll explain why in a few minutes. However, if you look at source number four, which I'm not going to go through, there are definitely those who had that minhag, that what they would do is they would go ahead on source number four, they would go ahead on when Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, they would make the Shabbos meal, your meal into two meals, in the middle of the meal they cover the challah, the bread with a cover, and make kiddush in the middle of the meal. And who had this minhag? So he says it's brought down that this is the minhag in maybe in Mitzrayim. It was the minhag in Yerushalayim. The Meiri mentioned that he would do this. People have that minhag. The Arizal didn't like it. Now let me explain. So why don't I like the custom, and why should you do the custom? So the reason I don't like the custom is for two reasons. Number one, it's a personal feeling. I happen to love Purim. I really do enjoy Purim. Every aspect of Purim, whether it's the Kriyas Megillah, whether it's Matanos Levyonim, Mishloach Manos, whether it's the fun, whether it's the Suda, I really enjoy Purim. But not only do I enjoy Purim, I enjoy Shabbos. And therefore, in Shabbos and Purim are very different days. So I want to celebrate Purim. I want to finish the meal, clean the house, take a shower, put on my Shabbos suit, and go to shul. That's a personal feeling. The second reason is the idea of Poris Mabul Makadesh is an idea the idea of Poris Mabul Makadesh is an idea when you know, he happened to eat a meal, and a meal extended into Shabbos. But it doesn't mean lechavchila, the proper thing is to eat a meal knowing it's going to come close to Shabbos. So that's the second reason, which many poskim do say, and I actually saw someone ask the Merle that question and said it's really, you know, the idea of breaking the meal into Kiddush in the meal is if it turned out that you went ahead on Erev Shabbos, and you ate a meal, and it turned out Shabbos, you didn't realize Shabbos came in, you cover the challah, make Kiddush. Well, chachila, to go ahead and to eat a meal, a weekday meal, and then have in mind your meal extend to Shabbos, I don't know if that's correct. Okay, so that's a second reason, that's a halachic reason, all right? However, and there's a third reason. The third reason goes like this, which I'll explain. So in Yerushalayim this year, even though Purim falls out on Shabbos, Purim Yerushalayim, most people will have the Suda on Sunday, on Yom Rishon. Why? Because the Yerushalmi itself says you should not have the meal on Shabbos, Suda's Purim on Shabbos. So, in other words, Yerushalmi says you should not have Suda's Purim on Shabbos, and we'll explain why, but if the Yerushalmi says the Suda's Purim should not be on Shabbos, so that means that Chazal are saying the Suda's Purim should not be on Shabbos. So why would I want to go ahead and take my Friday Suda's Purim and extend it into a Suda, into Suda Shabbos? Even though maybe halachically it's okay, especially since I started the meal before Shabbos came in, but it seems the Yerushalmi seems to shy away from the whole idea of having a Suda's Purim on Shabbos. So why would I want to extend the meal into Shabbos? Okay, what's the reason to extend the meal, to do Paris Mat Makadesh? So there are two reasons. One reason is the reason why the minhag, you know, there are probably three reasons why, okay? But one reason is why the minhag first started. You know, having a very lavish, expensive Suda costs money. And maybe some people can't afford to have two lavish meals the same day, right? So for this reason, if I'm going to sit down, have a Suda's Purim, you know, and a Suda's Purim has to be a banquet on Erev Shabbos, and then I have to go ahead, I have to cook, and I have to shop, and I have to buy more food for a second Suda Shabbos, for a Suda Shabbos, it's not affordable. And for this reason, it probably was the minhag in many places, the custom, to have to have one meal because they weren't able to afford to have two meals on one day. That's one reason for a custom. A second reason is maybe you have somebody who maybe it's not a question of affording. He's a very sensitive eater, and he can't have more than one big meal a day. You know, so Yom Tov is challenging. So because of that, he wants to go ahead and have one big meal, Shabbos and Purim, because he's not able to eat more than one big meal a day, not because of money, finances, because he just can't handle it. And a third reason is actually a reason that Rav Kelmer Zichrono Livracha, who just passed away this year, so I remember the last time Purim was on Erev Shabbos, he was in America, West Hempstead. So there are a lot of people, you know, Baruch Hashem, those who live in Eretz Yisrael, are able to take Purim off. This year is on Fridays, for sure it's easy. Most of us don't work on Purim. In America, a lot of Jews, religious Jews, have to work on Purim. So what happens in a regular year, they go to the Megillah, they go to work, they're able to leave work an hour or two early, they come home, they give Shalach Manas, sit down to the Suda, an hour before Shkia, and the Suda goes into an hour and a half after Shkia, 2 hours after Shkia, fine. But on Erev Shabbos, if they walk into the house an hour before Shkia, what kind of Suda are they going to have? So what would they do? They would do is before, after davening in the morning, they would have a quick meal, bagels and lox, 20 minutes, and run off to work. So Rav Kelmer, the Chorin Levracha, said, as you hear it, he says, that's not a Suda's Purim. So for them, they should do Paras Matbu Makadesh. This is the way I heard it, which makes a lot of sense, because otherwise they won't have a Suda's Purim. So even though I mentioned that Lechad Chila, many hold not to do Paras Matbu Makadesh for various reasons, however, the fact of the matter is that sometimes the reason to do it, and then you should do Paras Matbu Makadesh. However, as I pointed out, I think lechadchila it's better not to have it. And putting aside everything else, because as we will see in a few minutes, Shabbos and Purim are different. And I want to really explain and contrast Shabbat to Purim. So now, but before I do that, if you look at source number 5, it says, he says, if for whatever reason you didn't eat the Suda's Purim until after Plaga Mincha, till sometime, which was quite late, then you should definitely wash and do and make Kiddush in the middle of the meal. Fine. Okay, so let's now deal with the main part of the shir. The main part of the shir is source number 6. So that's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 6. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. Yom Chamisha Asar Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Like this year, when the 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbos, and you're not able, and that Bracha Purim falls on Shabbos Yisraelim, so we know the halacha Ein Korna Megillah B'Shabbat. You don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. El Magdim Likrosa BeErev Shabbat. You read the Megillah on Erev Shabbat, wherever anyone is, they'll read the Megillah on Friday. What's the reason why? So the Bavli feels the reason why is because we're afraid you might end up carrying the Megillah in a place of an Erev. The Yerushalmi actually has a different reason, but Yerushalmi says because it was a Gzeira not to read Ksuvim, you know, Daniel and Ezra and the Megillot on Shabbos in public. Not to learn Ksuvim. All right. So he says, but so that's why we don't do Megillah Esther on Shabbos. Then we say, Vein Osin Sudas Purim. And when do you do the Sudas Purim? Ad Yom Echad B'Shabbos on Sunday. So in Yerushalayim, they'll have the Sudas Purim on Yom Rishon. So let's see what's the reason why. So the truth is that source number 7, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Yerushalmi, which I'm going to skip for now because I want to do the Yerushalmi. I want to do Yerushalmi inside. Okay, but he quotes also the Maral Chaviv, that when he lived in Yerushalayim, he said, no, Maral Chavit says you have the Suda on Shabbat. Why? Because it's very nice Yerushalmi says not to have the Suda on Shabbat, but the Bavli holds out the Suda on Shabbat. And we know when we have a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we go like the Yerushalmi. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the Radvans, Paskins, like the Shulchan Aruch, you have the Suda on Sunday, and that's the Magen Avraham and the Korin Nisanel. And so many posts can hold that way. And I will just point out that I think it's important to understand that the reason why it makes sense to follow the Yerushalmi, just to make sense of all Yerushalmi, is because if we're discussing having a suit, first of all, it's not clear that the Bavli argues on the Yerushalmi. That's number one. Maralbach assumes the Bavli does, but the Bavli never says specifically if Purim falls out on Shabbat, you go ahead and you have the suit on Shabbat. It's a deduction that the Maralbach wants to say. Yerushalmi says specifically the suit is on Sunday. He says, and therefore everyone goes after the Yerushalmi, except for the Maralbach, who holds that you should have the suit on Shabbat. And it makes sense to follow the Yerushalmi. Why? Because, you see, the Bavli was written in Bavel. Okay, in Bavel, I really shouldn't say, I don't know for sure, but I would assume that Bavel was Chutz Laaretz, so obviously it could be there were certain cities that went ahead. So I'm incorrect, but in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud of Eretz Yisrael, they definitely had many times where Purim was on Shabbat, as opposed to, so therefore, for that reason, the Yerushalmi would know, you know, what the custom was. Okay, but, so I would like to now discuss the Yerushalmi. So I'm going to skip a little bit and look at the Yerushalmi. So let's look at source number 12. Okay, if you look at source number 12, so source number 12, it says like this. So the in the olden days, the days of Chazal, they used to have a Suda on Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Maybe the Suda was for Simcha. Maybe the Suda was to let people know that there was Rosh Chodesh. But, you know, a lot of times we know there's certain times certain things happen and we push it up. We can't have it in that day. We push it back. So Yerushalmi, it says, Sudat Rosh Chodesh, the Sudat Rosh Chodesh, the Sudat Purim, and Sudat Purim, the halacha is Ma'achrin, below Makdimim. You make it later, not earlier. So even though Tainis Esther this year, well, actually not this year, but if Tainis Esther falls out on Shabbat, we're Makdimit, we make it earlier, but the Sudat Purim we make later. So on Sunday, so Rav Zeira, Zeira boy, Kume Rav Avua. So Rav Zeira asked a question before Rav Avua, and he said, "What's the problem? The Yasu Osim B'Shabbat make the Sudas Purim on Shabbat?" Amrle, he says, "No. Why? Because Purim is Mishta with Simcha. Lasso Samiyam and Mishta with Simcha. We have to make it days of Mishta with Simcha. Okay." So therefore, the simcha of Purim depends on Bezdin. That's what we do. And we can't go ahead and do it on the same day where the simcha depends on Shamayim, on heaven. So what Yerushalmi seems to be saying is that you're not able to go ahead and to celebrate Purim, on Shabbos, because the Sudas Purim is Mishta v'Simcha, so its Simcha depends on Bezdin, and therefore on Shabbos, the Simcha of Shabbos depends on Shemayim, and the two cannot come together. So I'd really like to explain what that means, because I think with this we'll understand what Purim is all about. Purim is Mishta and Simcha, where the Simcha depends on Bezdin, and Shabbos, the Simcha which depends on Shemayim, on heaven. So we'll understand what the essence of Purim is and the essence of Shemayim. Now, so first of all, if you look at source number 13, the Korban Eida, he explains that, what does it mean? In other words, Purim is Purim because we are Mekadesh Purim. We say Purim, we say Rosh Chodesh Adar. This year was on a Shabbat, so therefore Purim is on a Friday, and Purim Yerushalayim is on a Shabbat. And Shabbos depends on God. The seventh day is always Kodesh from God. So because of that, you can't have the two together. I think that's difficult because we know Yom Tov also, the Kedusha depends on Bezdin. They're Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And still we celebrate Yom Tov, Chag, and Shabbat. We're going to do that the seventh day of Pesach this year. So I think that we have to understand and say that the Simcha of Shabbos and the Simcha of Purim are very different. Now, the first difference is because the Simcha of Purim has Mishnah v'Simcha. And by the way, even though the Rambam says it differently, the Megillah certainly concurs that the Simcha of Purim is Mishnah and then Simcha. The Simcha of Shabbos is just Simcha. So you might ask me, hold on, where in the world does it say that there is a din of Simcha by Shabbos? Where is a din of Simcha by Chag? But where is there a din of Simcha of happiness by Shabbos? Shabbos is halacha of Onik. There's really no halacha of Simcha. For that reason, even though on Chag we know we're supposed to have the Sarif Leishiks, and yes, on Shavuos we have Milchiks, and if someone really enjoys Milchiks, you can have Chalavi maybe. This is not the time for that shir. I think I once discussed this many years ago, Beit Avichai. But on Shabbat, really, the halacha is that you have to have something chashuv to eat. Whereas even though a lot of people might think not having Vesari on Shabbat is sacrilegious, but the fact of the matter is that as long as it's something chashuv, if someone sits down and has salmon on Friday night, he's actually yotze the mitzvah of oneg. Having salmon Friday night, in my mind, is better than having a salami sandwich because salmon is more chashuv. So he says, but so, and as a matter of fact, many years ago, someone in my shul did not want to have two fleishik meals, two meals besari on Friday. It was Purim on Friday. And they wanted to have milchiks at the Purim Suda. And they wanted to have fleishiks Friday night. And I told them that actually, it's probably better to have fleishiks at the Purim Suda. It's not, there are ways around it, but what's more lechachilin, they have chalavi, to go ahead and have chalavi at night. Why? Because Purim, the Rambam says, you have to go ahead and have basar v'yayin. And by Shabbos, the din of oneg, something chashuv. So what I'm trying to say is, where does this idea of simcha from Shabbos come from? So if you look at source number 14, the Beit Yosef says like this. We know we say in the Shabbat Shmon Esrei, Yismechu b'malchuscha, that you should be happy with the malchus. You should be happy in the malchus that you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, or Avigdor Kohen Tzadik says, so where does the idea come that on Shabbat we say Yismechu to be happy? So it says, Uviyom simchaschem mo'adeichem v'amru, Uviyom simchaschem ze Shabbat. The Torah says, Yom Simchaschem, what day is Simcha? That's Shabbat. And for this reason, we say, Lomar v'yismechu v'cha kol Yisrael makache shemecha. Some people said that. We're supposed to be happy. Okay? Now, the Simcha of Shabbat is very different than the Simcha of Chag. The Simcha of Chag, in a certain sense, forces us to have basar v'yayim. Maybe something like that might change at some point, depending, you might not like Bisari, but really, and we know the Simcha of Chag basically uproots Avelut. If someone is in Shiva when the Chag comes in, or if somebody is in Shloshim when Chag comes in, the Chag basically ends the Shiva and the Shloshim. Okay? However, the Simcha of Shabbat does not do that. So there is a mitzvah of simcha, and the simcha of, but it's different, okay? Yismuchu malchuscha. The simcha of Shabbat is an eternal simcha. The simcha of Chag is not just internal, it's external. The external simcha you show by the basar v'yayin, that's what uproots and ends the avelut, the morning. Okay? So the Tosfos Maseches Moed Katan says, how do we know that Shabbat, there's no Avelut on Shabbat? If somebody is sitting Shiva on Shabbat, so it doesn't end the Shiva, but he doesn't sit Shiva. It's counted, he doesn't sit Shiva. So the Tosfos says, because it says, Birchas Hashem, Ta'ashir, below Yosef, Atzei, Bima. So Birchas Hashem will make you wealthy, and there's no sadness, and the Bracha of Hashem is the bracha of Hashem is Shabbat, because by Shabbat it's written bracha. So again, so we see the whole idea of Shabbat. There is simcha by Shabbat. It must have to do with the bracha, And we'll come back to this. I will explain what this means. Just, I know I'm leaving you hanging. We'll come back now. So for now, I just mentioned, and it's fascinating. So if we go ahead and we look for a second. So now, the Maralbach, who lived in Yerushalayim, he wanted to suggest that really the Bavli argues with Yerushalmi, and he brings certain proofs. If we have time, we'll come to that. I'm not sure I want to spend time in that. I want to really, really focus now on what Shabbat is about and what Purim is about. And we do pass them like to Yerushalmi. So in order to understand what is Purim, okay? So let's understand Purim for a second. So before I understand Purim, so we know that Purim, there is a certain idea of drinking. Okay, and even though, and I gave a share in this in the past also, that the Gemara says Chayev Inish L'Psume B'Puria, a person has to drink on Purim, Ad Lo Yada, a person does not have to get drunk on Purim. A person has to drink a little bit more than usual. You know, it can be a little tipsy, not so tipsy, a little more than usual. My father, some years, would drink grape juice to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Okay, that's Purim. However, we do know that on Purim Chazal speak in certain terms about drinking and how much you drink. And there's really an abandonment of certain controls that you have. It's Mishta, it's Mishta V'Simcha. And it's fascinating that when it comes to Chag, to Yontif, which is also Simcha, and there it's external Simcha, and there you're supposed to drink wine, we see that it's very different than Purim itself. Why? Because opposed to Purim, where we say that on Purim, you have to go ahead, and on Purim, you have to drink in excess. If you look at source number 17, the Rambam says, the afal pi sha'achila v'shtia, even though the achila v'shtia, the moados, and chag is b'chal mitzvasei, it's mitzvasei, v'samachti b'chagecha, he says, lo ye'ochal v'shosa kol yom kula. The Rambam says, clearly, you shouldn't eat and drink a whole day. This is what you should do. In the morning, you go early to shul, Beit Knesset, the Beit Medrash, Mispalim, you daven, the Korim Batayra, you read the Torah, Hayyotorah Bin Yayom, the parish of the day, the Chosl Vatayan, you come back, you make a little Kiddush, the Ochlin, then the Hochlin Batayim Medrashis, you go back, the Korim Vishonin, you learn. The Torah Shibachsav, Torah Shibalpeh until Chatzos Hayom, Acher Chatzos Hayom, Mispal until Zeminchi, Dav Mincha, Bechoz Nevateyan, Lecho, Velishto, Shara Yom, Arlayel, to eat and drink the rest of the day. So according to the Rambam is saying, which Chazal say, the way Yom Tov is, you spend the first half of the day in Shul, davening and learning, and the second half of the day, you're drinking, okay? But he doesn't talk about getting drunk, and he talks about that Tefillah and Limud HaTorah is a very important part of the day. When it comes to Purim, you should know the Ram does not say that. It's about Suda. It's about Suda, and I'll explain more in a second. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah post can say a person should be very careful to learn on Purim. Why? Because we're so involved in things we might forget to learn. And one of the things we got back in the nice Purim was the ability to learn. So Purim is not really about that, okay? So the question is, if Purim is a day of Simcha, and so is Yontif, so why is it that Purim, it's the idea of drinking and eating to a certain excess, and Yontif not? What is the idea of Purim? And before I explain, I want to go over one more idea. And this is source number 18, the Tiferes Yisrael, okay? And this is a very important Tiferes Yisrael from Maral. I think it's something to... people should really take notice of this because, you know, I think that sometimes we seem to forget what exactly is Purim is all about. For example, and I understand that people want to say that Purim is the holiest day of the year. Purim is a wonderful day. But, you know, when we talk about the Kedusha of a day, we look at how many Aliyos we have. And we know on Shabbat we have 7 Aliyos. On Yom Kippur, there are 6 Aliyot. On Chag, 5. Chomoy, there are 4. Purim are 3, because there's no Kedusha to the day itself. It's a day of doing a lot of mitzvot. It's a day to really connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would say to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us, as I'll explain later. But it's not, the day that does not have Kedusha Sayom. It doesn't. Kedusha Yom is something which is given by God. If you look at source number 18, so Maral, the Pharisee Yisrael, says, you'll see his lashon, he says like this. So when Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma, okay, Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma was, I guess, one of the Rabbeim, Rav Chananya ben Trajon. Chananya ben Trajon, you know, was one of the Asari Haruge Malchut. He was actually killed by the Romans. He was one of the Asari Haruge Malchus. And before he died, so he was before he was killed, but Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma was sick. So he went to see him, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma said to him, "I hear you're teaching Torah Barabbim in public, and you know the Romans don't allow it. What's the matter with you? You know?" And he said, "Listen, what can I do?" And then Rabbi Chanan Bar Kisma said to him, "Am I getting Olam Haba?" Right? Whatever the question was. So he says to him, "You're getting Olam Haba? Well, tell me something. Did you ever go ahead, right? Did you ever go ahead and did you ever go ahead and do anything good?" So he says, "Moish shel Purim nischapli moish shel tzedaka," right? He says, "I had money that was set aside for my Purim needs, and it got mixed up with tzedakah money, and I gave it all out to the aniyim, to the poor people." So Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma says, "Whoa, that's really amazing. I wish my lot was your lot." So he says, the Maral asks, "What's going on here? What do you mean you have an action?" He says, "Tell me, did you do anything that can tell you, are you a person that lives in Olam Hazeh, or are you a person who lives in Olam Haba?" Like, for example, I'm Baruch Hashem. I do mitzvahs. I go to Minyan. I daven. I do mitzvahs. But would you define me as an Olam Hazeh person or Olam Haba person? Where's my focus? So that was the question that Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma, Shulchan Aruch Mitzrayim. So he says, "I want to tell you," he says, "the one thing I did," he says, "that shows that I'm a Ben Olam Haba. What did I do? I had money set aside for my Purim needs, and it got mixed up with Aniyah's money for poor people, and I gave it to the poor people, everything, because I didn't know what was what." He says, Yosef says, "Wow, that shows you're Ben Olam Haba." Why? Because he says, and I want you to see what he says. He says like this, and I want to very important to see what he says. He says, "Kimos Purim ain omdim elo larak l'achila b'shtia." The money of Purim is there for achila shtia. Okay, the ilu haya zeh hayom shoshvesh kedusha. He says, if Purim was a day that had kedusha, is the Maral, not myself saying this. If Purim was a day that had holiness, lo yasud inyan gashmi d'legabu, would not be an inyan gashmi, because it would be the chavar hayom and a great kedusha. Abel, he says, "Ain b'yom zeh." The Maral says, "I'm Purim." He says, "This is the Maral, not myself." He says, "Ain b'yom zeh kedusha klal va'achila v'ashtiu hu davar gashmi olam hazeh." The Maral says that I'm gonna make it bigger. I want everyone to see this. The Maral says that there's no kedusha at all, and the achila and shtiu on Purim is a davar gashmi. I would never have said this. It's a physical thing. It's kula gashmi. Money for aniyim is kulu ruchani, because aniyim don't have olam hazeh. All they have is olam haba. And our Purim, the Maral says, is olam hazeh. So you took your olam hazeh and you spent it for aniyim and olam haba. That's his idea. So it shows you've been olam haba. But the point I want to show to you is the Maral says that Purim is a day ein bo kedusha klal. Okay? I want to explain what that means according to Maral, and I realize there are those that argue. I realize that Rizal probably wouldn't agree with this for sure. There's no question about this, but this is the Maral. I want to really try to understand. And by the way, there's what to grow, what this means. We can understand what Purim is about. And even if you hold that Purim is a day of tremendous ruchnius, and I believe there's ruchnius in Purim, there's still what to learn from this Maral. I think the idea goes like this. And now, before I talk about Purim, let's talk about Shabbat. Okay, what is Shabbos about? Okay, what's Shabbos about? Let's think about it. Yes, so, you know, you can go ahead and we can talk about Shabbat. We can talk about the fact that on Shabbat we go ahead and we have our food and we go to shul, nice singing, family time. But look at source number 19. The first mention of Shabbat in the first mention of Shabbat in the Torah, Vayechulu. What does it say? So it says, Vayevarach Elokim es yom ha-shvi ve-kadesh oto kivo Shabbat mikom alachto asher bara Elokim lasot. That God blessed the seventh day. And the question is, what does it mean that God blessed the day? Well, yeah, we say it all the time, God blessed the day. What does it mean to bless the day? So I heard from my father, and a very important idea, that the idea when you give someone a bracha, we know who was the first person maybe to get a bracha. The first, well, you know, Noah got brachas, the Adam got brachas. We know a Kodesh Baruch who gave Avram a bracha. Kodesh Baruch who says, V'nivruchu v'chal kol mishkos ha'adama, and Rashi explains that parents will tell their children to be like Avram Avinu. We know that Ephraim and Manasseh are the symbol of bracha. And when Yaakov Avinu gave Ephraim and Manasseh bracha, Yaakov Avinu said to them that when Jews come to bless their sons, they will bless their sons to be like you. And the question is, why is that a bracha? Money, health, you know, maybe to be kings. No! In the Mirtz Hashem, in the year we're living in, you know, right before the Geula, when parents bless their sons, their daughters are blessed a different way, but they were blessed to be like you. Why is that a bracha? So my father explained that really what's a bracha? A bracha is where you want more of something. You want the person's influence to be felt. You want to make an effect in the world. All of us want to make our mark on the world. We want to do something. That's a bracha. What, I just want to live my life, enjoying life, and not make the world a better place? There shouldn't be more of me. A bracha should be more of you. And that's what Yaakov said to Ephraim Manasseh. Yeah, I give you money and this and that. I'm sure you'll have it all. But the ultimate bracha is that for generations, children will aspire to be like you in whichever way it is. But because of that, there'll be more of you. And that is the idea of bracha, of being more. And my father explained, if you Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, if you want to know what Shabbos is, the bracha of Shabbos is to bring Shabbos into the week. Vayavarach Elokim et yom ha-shvi'i v'kadesh oto, and he says Shabbos will be so great. Its influence will permeate into the week. And people, whatever Shabbos is about a certain, you know, aspiration towards Kedusha, a certain idea that the family gets together, a certain idea of, you know, looking at what you accomplished and being happy. Shabbos has to go into the week. What does that mean? What that means is that when we celebrate Shabbos, it's not just about Shabbos. We have to take Shabbos with us. You know, there's a famous expression that the Kirov organizations have, a wonderful organization, turn Friday night into Shabbos. Yes, we have to do that. But for ourselves, we have to turn Motzei Shabbat into Shabbos, Yom Rishon into Shabbat, Yom Sheni into Shabbat. We have to somehow or another, Shabbos has to, whatever happens in Shabbos has to inspire us. We have to be different. We learned on Shabbos. So if I sit down and on Shabbat, I'm able to learn certain Gemara, learn certain Forshim. I said, well, I take it with me. That's Shabbat. That's the Brach of Shabbat. And I think that's in a certain sense, we talk about Yismachu b'malchuscha. What's the idea of Shabbat? That Shabbat has an inner simcha? Because, you know, Shabbat is beyond everything else, is we're with Hashem, like Chag. Hashem's all the time, but it's like Hashem's with us. For Shabbat, God comes to us. That's Kabbalah Shabbat. And on Chag, we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, you know, we go to the Beit HaMikdash. That's why the Kabbalah Shabbat is either skipped or it's shortened, because it's a whole different experience when Shabbos falls out, when Chag falls out on Shabbat. But it's the idea of spending a day with God. And therefore, it has to inspire us, because how can you be before God and not be inspired and not be changed? So, in other words, whatever it is it does, you take it with you. That's the bracha of Shabbat. And that's Yismuchu v'malchuscha. That's what's simcha. Simcha is when you go ahead and you realize something good happened to you and you accomplish something. That's simcha. That's the simcha of Shabbat, simcha of Chag. Yismuchu v'malchuscha. And therefore, what you do is we go ahead and we take that with us. That's the bracha, but that's the simcha Shabbat, spending Shabbat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking it with us, and it should inspire us during the rest of the week. That's the simcha Shabbat. And I think that maybe that's shot in the Yerushalmi, that the simcha of Purim is the simcha of Beis Din. I'll explain in a second. The simcha of Shabbat and the simcha of Chag, which come together, as it will this year on Shvi Yishol Pesach, and it came this year on the first day Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeret, and also on Rosh Hashanah. That is Tluya B'Shamayim. It's not the Kiddush. It's the Simcha, because the Simcha being of HaKadosh Baruch. So in other words, so before I get to Purim, understand what Shabbos is about, whatever you do, whether it's the davening, the learning, the Zemiros, spending time with the family of your friends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense is there. That's why it's brought down in some of the Sfarim, don't know where, to speak Lashon HaKodesh in Shabbat, in Yeshiva Shavitz HaChanan. Years ago, the Takana was, it might still be, but SOI, to speak Lashon HaKodesh in Shabbat only. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there, and you take it with you, it's supposed to take with you. Because that same experience you can deal during the week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. You know I'm busy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. That's a Simcha Shabbat. And therefore, we have to give chashivas to it. We have to show simchas sometimes on Chag. But it is no din of Mishnah. And because of that reason, the Rambam says you're supposed to grow from Shabbat. You're supposed to learn from it, bring it with you. You can't eat and drink a whole day. Source number 17, you got to spend a day with God more also. In the Beis Medrash, Beis Knesset, spend the morning, the full morning doing it. That's Shabbat and Chag. The question is, what is Purim? So Purim is Mishneh v'Simcha. It's not a Simcha like Shabbat and Chag, because the mitzvah of Shabbat and Chag is more internal. The Simcha of Purim, first you have Mishneh, and then you have Simcha. And I want to point something out to you, which maybe you'll understand when you read the Megillah, you'll see it. See, he says like this. Now we'll come back to the Maral. So if you sort of look at Megillas Esther, let's look at source number 16 first. So the Jewish people celebrated this great victory. On the 13th, they beat their enemies all over the world. On the 14th, they beat their enemies in Shushan Abira. All over the world, they rested on the 14th. And the rest of the, and Shushan Abira, they rested on the 15th. All right, so it says, he said like this, and because of this, in Pasuk Yutes, Perek Tet, it says, I'm sorry, he said like this. So he says, so it says that if you look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, it was Mishneh v'Simcha. So in Pasuk Yutes, it says, so what did the Jews do? Mordechai is not mentioned now. The Jews themselves decided, wow, there's such an amazing thing. We have to do this every year. So in Pasuk Yitzed it says, Al-Kain ha-Yehudim ha-Prozim ha-Yoshivim v'Ari ha-Prozot osim v'Yom ha-Basar al-Chodesh Adar simcha v'Mishta v'Yomtev v'Mishloach 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 v'Mishloach. Okay? Like the day, simcha mish, simcha first. Okay? So then it says, in Pasuk Chabet, right afterwards, that didn't exactly work out. Instead of making it Yontif and Mishtimcha Mishta, they made it Mishta v'Simcha and no Yontif. Why? So I think what they realized was that the whole point of Purim is to feel exactly like they felt at the time of the Nes Purim. I'll explain what that is in a minute. Like they felt at that Nes Purim. So what? How did they feel Nes Purim? So it says, that's what it says in Pasuk Chaf Bet. I'll just read it. That kayom mashir nachu behem ha-Yehudim yaveyem, like the days that the Yehudim rested from their enemies. They have to feel that way. And they felt if they were going to go ahead and they were going to make it a yontif, it wouldn't be like the days they felt. And the question is, why not? So I would suggest like this. I remember when I was in the Shnat Avel, the year of mourning for my parents, on Purim, I was wondering even a Suda, how is a Suda supposed to be? Usually have families together. And I saw one of the notes to Kalim that says that there's no Avelis during the Suda's Purim. And by the way, we know an Avel and Shiva doesn't, according to Ashkenazim, does not sit Shiva. Why? Because it's sort of like we're in the future already. There's no, the base of interest is built. As a matter of fact, you know, there's halacha, when you have a banquet, you have to leave one dish off, Zecher l'Churban. That doesn't apply on Purim. Why doesn't it apply on Purim? Because we have to see, like, the base of interest is built. In other words, what happened on Purim was that day after the big victory, the Jewish people felt like no problems. Everything's taken care of. B'tochem b'Hashem, everything is there. They don't have to worry about anything, and therefore they had mishta v'simcha. There was nothing on their mind. Okay, to explain what that means, there was one year, it was Purim. I guess I was a little tipsy, and a shaila came in the middle of the suda. So I said, I can't paskin the shaila. It was more a community shaila, not from the shul, the community, because I had more than that riyas of wine to drink. I said, call this rav, call that rav. And they responded, they said, yeah, they called both Rabban, they're both drunk. So I said, I can't paskin. So I figured I would have someone in my house, not myself, call my brother in Chicago. And someone was there. He said to me, I knew you were basically in control of your senses because you came so serious. And my brother paskin the shaila, whatever the shaila was. But in other words, when you feel there are no problems in the world, you can have mishta v'simcha. You see, simcha stems from the fact that you realize something very special is going on and you want to be happy and take advantage. That's chashavas and yontif. But Purim is more about saying, wow, we are so safe. God took care of us. There's nothing to worry about. And that is mishta v'simcha. In order to feel, that's how they felt on those days when the Jews rested. That's what Purim is about, to feel that way. Now, the question is, what happened the day after Purim, or a week after Purim, or 2 weeks after Purim? Let me give a mashal. You watch a chassan and a kal under the chuppah. It's a very, very special time. You see they're standing there. There seems to be so much love, so much passion, and they're so happy. And in their minds, usually, there are no problems in their minds. Usually, there are no problems. There are no problems in the world. In their minds, there are no problems in the world. There are no problems in the world in their minds. You know, and it's very nice. And I remember the first I remember that was I remember you know watching my mother, one of my siblings' wedding, crying. My mother was very low. Really, there are challenges in the world. And even though you know, a week later. Or 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, worry about parnasta, and and that's the way it is. And that's what they should feel. But what would happen if a week after they say, no problems, I don't have to pay the water bill, no problems. It's gonna come back at them. That's how the Jewish people felt Purim time. Purim time was to feel God took care of us and there's nothing to worry about. And we have to feel that way. To know that God's there. But to go ahead and say, so tomorrow I don't have to worry? Or the day after? They still have to worry. Purim, don't worry. But it's not like you have mishta v'simcha the rest of the year. Mishta v'simcha is limited. Mishta v'simcha is limited to Purim. Why? Because that's a feeling saying right now things are great and awesome. But tomorrow I can roll up my sleeves and that'll be the same thing. So in other words, as opposed to Shabbos and Chag, where you take it with you. Purim, you can't take it with you. You realize in the back of your head that God's there for you. And you have to do Yishtadlus. But Purim is a day, there's no Yishtadlus to do. We're resting. It was all done. It was all great. So that's why the Simcha of Purim and the Simcha of Shabbos are so different. And that's why the Yerushalmi says they shouldn't go together. Have your Suda on Sunday in Yerushalayim and your Shabbos on Shabbos. And for people living in outside Yerushalayim, have your Sudas Purim and make the separation. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos and Purim are two totally different days. You know, and it's fascinating. If you go, and that's why, and that's, I think, what Pshat in the Maral is. In other words, because what we talk about Shabbos. Shabbos is you're connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're feeling like Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day of Olam Haba, connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you take it with you. But Purim is a day that, yes, it's such an important day. You know, as soon as Purim is over, we're focused on Pesach already, because it's time to start rolling up our sleeves and do certain things. Yes, the idea of bitachon, that God's there for us, is always there. But we're not resting anymore. We're worried. We're thinking. We're saying, yes, we have to do our ashtablos. And that's the difference between Purim. That's the difference between Purim and Pesach. You know, and it's fascinating. If we look towards the end of the Megillah, right? He says, the idea is that in the end, that Purim will always do. It's a very important day, Lo Yavar. But the idea of Purim is to celebrate the moment that now there's nothing to worry about. But the next day, there's something to worry, because hand in hand, there'll be Tachan and Emunah comes Yishtatos. Shabbos is something to take with you. Purim is to realize that God is there, but the concept of Mishta, there was nothing to worry about, that happens on Purim, but not the day, not the day after Purim. So the point of Purim is that day when you celebrate, that there's nothing to worry about, you realize God's there for you. So the day after, we have the shtadlus with the bitachon, you'll feel very good about yourself. So as we face, you know, this Purim, Mirtzah Hashem, it should be a year of Mishta v'Simcha, and then the Simcha Shabbos. Keep in mind, as we realize the day we're going to rest, whatever you do, do our shtadlus, the Kadosh Baruch will be there for us to end our challenges. And the next day we come into Shabbos, and that's a day of Kedusha, and we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that we take with us. In other words, we take the idea that God's there for us on Purim, but not the idea that we just rest. But Shabbos take with us that, yes, we accomplished, but there's still more to do. And that's why whatever you do, and if you combine both meals, you follow the Maral Bach, to keep in mind the idea of Shabbos and Yom Tov. What Shabbos and Yom Tov is about, bring it with you, connecting, and Purim is to realize that we can rest because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. But to know that the next day, God's still there, but we have to do our shtadlus and we have to be concerned. And that's the message of Purim we take of us, but it's not the total experience. And Shabbos, the total experience, come with us. Everyone should have a wonderful Purim to learn that idea of Emunah Bitachon. Now I will actually unmute everybody. And if anyone has questions, they certainly can go ahead and they can ask questions. Everyone, let me just go ahead and give everyone a chance. Whoever wants to ask a question can go ahead. Did my father feel that Paris Mappa was usher? I do not think so. We never did Paris Mappa. I don't know if it was usher. We never discussed it. Okay, we never did Paris Mappa, so I don't know. But let me just see if I can mute everybody. Hold on, I think I can. If anyone has questions, whoever wants to unmute themselves can unmute themselves to ask a question. My father did not feel that Paris Mappa. I will not say it's usher. Because I never discussed with him. I just said it's better not to, but if a person has need to do, they can do it. But I don't know. I never discussed with them that point. It was never happening to do Paris Mappa in that situation. All right. Any questions? If you want to ask a question, you can unmute yourself now.
Mute. Yes, it's not a question. It's very interesting. I have a bris on Tanis Esther late in the afternoon in Yerushalayim. So they're going to have the Suda, read the Megillah, then have the Suda after the Megillah, after the fast is over,
right?
Which is right. Okay, now I am going to be, I am a Porus. I live in Alon Shvut. I'm not from Yerusha. So the question is, with the Kriyas HaMegillah, they are not reading the Bizmanah. Yeah, so the Baal HaBayis wants to read the Megillah, but he thinks maybe it's a better idea that I should read the Megillah, because for me, I'm Bizmano.
So I think they bring down in the Svarim that it would be an issue Friday morning, but Thursday night would not be a problem. Because you see, Friday morning, it's Medivrei Kabbalah, and it could be their Chiyuv is different because it's not Bizmanam. But Thursday night, for everybody, it's only the Rabbanan. It's the Rabbanan anyways, all right? So therefore, they bring down in the Svarim that it's okay Thursday night to go ahead and you can be Yotzei with them. Okay? And I would just mention
that I said that if you listen to the whole shir, if someone asked a question that someone asked me, it works for some people, takes the pressure off today. I did not say it was usser, and I just at the beginning of the shir I said that if somebody wants to do it, they can do it. Right? So the question you have to, I think I'm not sure what's on it, but I said that for some people it works. There's no question. I said it clearly. I don't think it's the best thing to do, but for some people, you might have to do it. And I mentioned the Rav Minhagim, why you do it. And Mirtz Hashem, if you want to hear a recording for this year, the whole year, Mirtz Hashem will be posted. So you can hear it on YU Torah. Hopefully, Baruch will send it out. All right? So so I want to go ahead and I want to reiterate that it was not a... that I did not give it a psak halacha. I said what I do, what I recommend, but I did say there are reasons to do it. So please, please forgive me for that. But I would, beginning to share, someone was very clear about that. All right. Any other questions? Okay. So everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Purim, and we should be inspired. And Mirtz Hashem. We should look forward to a wonderful Pesach where we can actually be all together, and maybe I can get back to giving the shiur live in front of people. Have a wonderful, wonderful Purim, everybody.
Shkach. Main. Shkach, Rav.